and sticking pins in them. I wake up crying, and Ma lets me have lots. It's the right, but it's pretty creamy. I kept 6 toys, not 5.
What?
The ones the crazy fan sent. I kept 6.
It doesn't matter.
It does. I kept the 6th. I didn't send it to the sick kids.
They were for you. They were your presents.
Then why could I only have 5?
You can have as many as you like. Go back to sleep.
I can't. Somebody shut my nose.
That's just the snot getting thicker. It means you'll be all better soon.
But I can't be better if I can't breathe.
That's why God gave you a mouth to breathe through. Plan B.
When it starts getting light, we count our friends in the world. Noreen and Dr. Clay and Dr. Kendrick and Pilar and the apron woman, I don't know the name, and Ajit and Naisha.
Who are they?
The man and the baby and the dog that called the police.
Oh, yeah.
Only I think Raj is an enemy because he bited my finger. Oh, and Officer O and the man police that I don't know his name and the captain. That's 10 and 1 enemy.
Grandma and Paul and Deanna.
Bronwyn, my cousin, only I haven't seen her yet. Leo, that's Steppa.
He's nearly 70 and stinks of dope. She must have been on the rebound.
What's the rebound? Instead of answering, she asks,
what number are we at?
15 and 1 enemy.
The dog was scared, you know. That was a good reason.
Bugs bite for no reason. Night, night, sleep tight. Don't let the bugs bite. Ma doesn't remember to say that anymore. Okay, 16. Plus Mrs. Gerber and the girl with tattoos and Hugo, only we don't talk to them hardly. Does that count?
Oh, sure.
That's 19 then. I have to go get another tissue. They're softer than toilet paper, but sometimes they rip when they're wetted. Then I'm up already, so we have a getting dressed race. I win, except for forgetting my shoes. I can go down the stairs really fast on my butt now. Bump, 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 so my teeth crack. I don't think I'm like a monkey like the paper people said, but I don't know. The ones on the wildlife planet don't have stairs. For breakfast, I have 4 French toasts. Am I growing? Ma looks up and down me.
Every minute.
When we go see Dr. Clay, he makes me tell about my dreams. He thinks my brain is probably doing a spring cleaning. I stare at him.
Now you're safe. It's gathering up all those scary thoughts you don't need anymore and throwing them out as bad dreams.
His hands do the throwing. I don't say because of manners, but actually he's got it backwards. In room, I was safe, and outside is the scary. Dr. Clay is talking to Ma now about how she wants to slap Grandma. That's not allowed. She blinks at me.
I don't want to, really, just sometimes.
Did you ever want to slap her before you were kidnapped?
Oh, sure.
Ma looks at him, then laughs, sort of groaning.
Great. I've got my life back.
We find another room with 2 things I know what they are. They're computers.
Excellent. I'm going to email a couple of friends.
Who of the 19?
Old friends of mine, actually. You don't know them yet.
She sits and goes tap, tap on the letters bit for a while. I watch. She's frowning at the screen.
Can't remember my password.
What's...
I'm such a...
She covers her mouth. She does a scratchy breath through her nose.
Never mind. Hey, Jack, let's find something fun for you, will we?
Where? She moves the mouse a bit, and suddenly there's a picture of Dora. I go close to watch. She shows me bits to click with the little arrow so I can do the game myself. I put all the pieces of the magic saucer back together, and Dora and Boots clap and sing a thank you song. It's better than TV, even. Ma's with the other computer, looking up a book of faces she says is a new invention. She types in the names, and it shows them smiling. Are they really, really old?
Mostly 26, like me.
But you said they're old friends.
That just means I knew them a long time ago. They look so different.
She puts her eyes nearer the pictures. She mutters things like...
South Korea.
Or...
Divorced already. No way.
There's another new website she finds with videos of songs and things. She shows me two cats dancing in ballet shoes. That's funny. Then she goes to other sites with only words like confinement and trafficking. She says, can I let her read for a while? So I try my Dora game again, and this time I win a switchy star. There's a somebody standing in the door. I jump. It's Hugo. He's not smiling.
I Skype it too.
Huh?
I Skype it too.
Sorry, I have no idea what...
I Skype my mother every day at 2 p.m. She'll have been expecting me 2 minutes ago. It's written down in the schedule right here on the door.
Back in our room on the bed, there's a little machine with a note from Paul. Ma says it's like the one she was listening to when old Nick stole her. Only this one's got pictures you can move with your fingers, and not just 1,000 songs, but millions. She's put the bud things in her ears. She's nodding to a music I don't hear and singing in a little voice about being a million different people from one day to the next. Let me.
It's called Bittersweet Symphony. When I was 13, I listened to it all the time.
She puts one bud in my ear. Too loud! I yank it out.
Be gentle with it, Jack. It's my present from Paul.
I didn't know it was hers, not mine. In Rome, everything was ours.
Hang on, here's the Beatles. There's an oldie you might like from about 50 years ago. All You Need Is Love.
I'm confused. Don't persons need food and stuff?
Yeah, but all that's no good if you don't have somebody to love as well.
She's too loud. She's still flicking through the names with her fingers.
Like there's this experiment with baby monkeys. A scientist took them away from their mothers and kept each one all alone in a cage. And you know what? They didn't grow up right.
Why they didn't grow?
No, they got bigger, but they were weird from not getting cuddles.
What kind of weird? She clicks her machine off.
Actually, sorry, Jack. I don't know why I brought it up.
What kind of weird? Ma chews her lip.
Sick in their heads.
Like the crazies? She nods.
Biting themselves and stuff.
Hugo cuts his arms, but I don't think he bites himself. Why? Ma puffs her breath.
See, if their mothers were there, they'd have cuddled the baby monkeys, but because the milk just came from pipes, it turns out they needed the love as much as the milk.
This is a bad story.
Sorry. I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have told you.
No, you should.
But...
I don't want there to be bad stories and me not know them. Ma holds me tight.
Jack, I'm a bit strange this week, aren't I?
I don't know, because everything's strange.
I keep messing up. I know you need me to be your ma, but I'm having to remember how to be me as well at the same time, and it's...
But I thought the her and the ma were the same. I want to go outside again, but Ma's too tired. What day is this morning?
Thursday.
When is Sunday?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Three away, like in room?
Yeah, a week's 7 days everywhere.
What'll we ask for Sunday treat? Ma shakes her head. In the afternoon, we're going in the van that says... The Cumberland Clinic. We're driving actually outside the big gates to the rest of the world. I don't want to, but we have to go show the dentist Ma's teeth that still hurt. Will there be persons there not friends of ours?
Just the dentist and an assistant. They've sent everybody else away. It's a special visit just for us.
We have our hats and our cool shades on, but not the sunblock because the bad rays bounce off glass. I get to keep my stretchy shoes on. In the van, there's a driver with a cap. I think he's on mute. There's a special booster seat on the seat that makes me higher so the belt won't squish my throat if we break suddenly. I don't like the tight of the belt. I watch out the window and blow my nose. It's greener today. Lots and lots of he's and she's on the sidewalks. I never saw so many. I wonder, are they all real for real or just some? Some of the women grow long hair like us, but the men don't.
Oh, a few do. Rock stars. It's not a rule, just a convention.
What's a...
A silly habit everybody has. Would you like a haircut?
No.
It doesn't hurt. I had short hair before, back when I was 19.
I shake my head. I don't want to lose my strong.
Your what?
My muscles, like Samson in the story. That makes her laugh. Look, Ma, a man putting himself on fire.
Just lighting a cigarette. I used to smoke.
I stare at her. Why?
I can't remember.
Look, look!
Don't shout.
I'm pointing where there's all littles walking along the street. Kids tied together.
They're not tied, I don't think.
Ma puts her face more against the window.
Nah, they're just holding on to the string so they don't get lost. And see, the really small ones are in those wagons, 6 in each. They must be a daycare, like the one Bronwyn goes to.
I want to see Bronwyn. May you go us, please, to the kid place where the kids and Bronwyn, my cousin, are? I say to the driver. He doesn't hear me.
The dentist is expecting us right now.
The kids are gone. I stare out all the windows. The dentist is Dr. Lopez. When she pulls up her mask for a second, her lipstick is purple. She's going to look at me first because I have teeth, too. I lie down in a big chair that moves. I stare up with my mouth wide, wide open, and she asks me to count what I see on her ceiling. There's 3 cats and 1 dog and 2 parrots and... I spit out the metal thing.
It's just a little mirror, Jack. See? I'm counting your teeth.
20.
That's right.
Dr. Lopez grins.
I've never met a 5-year-old who could count his own teeth before.
She puts the mirror in again.
Wide spacing. That's what I like to see.
Why you like to see that?
It means plenty of room for maneuvering.
Ma's going to be a long time in the chair while the drill gets the yuck out of her teeth. I don't want to wait in the waiting room, but Yang, the assistant, says...
Come check out our cool toys.
He shows me a shark on a stick that goes clattery, clattery, and there's a stool to sit on that's shaped like a tooth, too. Not a human tooth, but a giant one all white with no rot. I look at a book about Transformers and another one with no jacket about mutant turtles that say no to drugs. Then I hear a funny noise. Yang blocks in the door.
I think maybe your mom would prefer...
I duck in under his arm, and there's Dr. Lopez doing a machine in Ma's mouth that screeches. Leave her alone!
It's okay,
Ma says, but like her mouth is broken. What the dentist did to her?
If you'd feel safer here, that's fine.
Yang brings the tooth stool in the corner, and I watch. It's awful, but it's better than not watching. One time, Ma twitches in the chair and makes a moan, and I stand up. But Dr. Lopez says,
a little more numbing?
And does a needle, and Ma stays quiet again. It goes on for hundreds of hours. I need to blow my nose, but the skin's coming off, so I just press the tissue on my face. When Ma and me go back in the parking lot, the light's all banging my head. The driver's there again reading a paper. He gets out and opens the doors for us.
Henku.
I wonder if she'll always talk wrong now. I'd rather sore teeth than talk like that. All the way back to the clinic, I watch the street whizzing by. I sing the song about the ribbon of highway and the endless skyway. Tooth's still under our pillow. I give him a kiss. I should have brung him, and maybe Dr. Lopez could have fixed him, too. We have our dinner on a tray. It's called beef stroganoff, with bits that's meat and bits that look like meat, but they're mushrooms, all lying on fluffy rice. Ma can't have the meats yet, just has little slurps of the rice, but she's nearly talking properly again. Noreen knocks to say she has a surprise for us. Ma's dad from Australia. Ma's crying. She jumps up. Can I take my stroganoff?
Why don't I bring Jack down in a few minutes when he's finished?
Ma doesn't even say anything. She just runs off. He had a funeral for us, I tell Noreen. But we weren't in the coffin.
Glad to hear it.
I taste the little rices.
This must be the most tiring week of your life.
She sits down beside me. I blink at her. Why?
Well, everything's strange, because you're like a visitor from another planet, aren't you?
I shake my head. We're not visitors. Ma says we have to stay forever till we're dead.
I suppose I mean a new arrival.
When I'm all done, Noreen finds the room where Ma's sitting holding hands with a person that has a cap on. He jumps up and says to her,
I tell your mother I didn't want...
Ma butts in.
Dad, this is Jack.
He shakes his head. But I am Jack. Was he expecting a different one? He's looking at the table. He's all sweaty on his face.
No offense.
What do you mean, no offense?
Ma's talking nearly in a shout.
I can't be in the same room. It makes me shudder.
There's no it. He's a boy. He's 5 years old.
I'm saying it wrong. It's a jet lag. I'll call you later from the hotel, okay?
The man whose grandpa has gone past me without looking, he's nearly at the door. There's a crash. Ma's banged the table with her hand.
It's not okay.
Okay, okay.
Sit down, Dad.
He doesn't move.
He's the world to me.
Her dad? No, I think that he is me.
Of course, it's only natural.
The grandpa man wipes the skin under his eyes.
But all I can think of is that beast and what he...
Oh, so you'd rather think of me dead and buried?
He shakes his head again.
Then live with it. I'm back.
It's a miracle.
I'm back with Jack. That's two miracles.
He puts his hand on the door handle.
Right now, I just can't...
Last chance. Take a seat.
Nobody does anything. Then the grandpa comes back to the table and sits down. Ma points to the chair beside him so I go on it, even though I don't want to be here. I'm looking at my shoes. They're all crinkly at the edges. Grandpa takes off his cap. He looks at me.
Pleased to meet you, Jack.
I don't know which manners, so I say, you're welcome. Later on, Ma and me are in bed. I'm having some in the dark. Why he didn't want to see me? Was it another mistake, like the coffin?
Kind of.
Ma puffs her breath.
He thought I'd be better off without you.
Somewhere else?
No, if you'd never been born. Imagine.
I try, but I can't. Then would you still be Ma?
Well, no, I wouldn't. So it's a really dumb idea.
Is he the real grandpa?
I'm afraid so.
Why, you're afraid?
I mean, yeah, he's it.
Your dad from when you were a little girl in the hammock?
Ever since I was a baby, 6 weeks old. That's when they brought me home from the hospital.
Why, she left you there, the tummy mommy. Was that a mistake?
I think she was tired. She was young.
She sits up to blow her nose very noisy.
Dad will get his act together in a while.
What's his act? She sort of laughs.
I mean, he'll behave better, more like a real grandpa.
Like Steppa, only he's not a real one. I go asleep really easy, but I wake up crying.
It's okay, it's okay.
That's Ma kissing my head. Why they don't cuddle the monkeys?
Who?
The scientists. Why don't they cuddle the baby monkeys?
Oh.
After a second, she says,
Maybe they do. Maybe the baby monkeys learn to like the human cuddles.
No, but you said they're weird and biting themselves. Ma doesn't say anything. Why don't the scientists bring the mother monkeys back and say sorry?
I don't know why I told you that old story. It all happened ages ago, before I was born.
I'm coughing, and there's nothing to blow my nose on.
Don't think about the baby monkeys anymore, okay? They're okay now.
I don't think they're okay. Ma holds me so tight, my neck hurts. Ow! She moves.
Jack, there's a lot of things in the world.
Zillions?
Zillions and zillions. If you try to fit them all in your head, it'll just burst.
But the baby monkeys. I can hear her breathing funny.
Yeah, some of the things are bad things.
Like the monkeys.
And worse than that.
What worse? I try to think of a thing worse.
Not tonight.
Maybe when I'm six?
Maybe.
She spoons me. I listen to her breaths. I count them to 10, then 10 of mine. Ma?
Yeah?
Do you think about the worst things?
Sometimes. Sometimes I have to.
Me too.
But then, I put them out of my head, and I go to sleep.
I count our breaths again. I try biting myself, my shoulder. It hurts. Instead of thinking about the monkeys, I think about all the kids in the world, how they're not TV, they're real. They eat and sleep and pee and poo like me. If I had something sharp and pricked them, they'd bleed. If I tickled them, they'd laugh. I'd like to see them, but it makes me dizzy that there's so many, and I'm only one.
So, you've got it?
I'm lying on our bed in room number 7, but she's only sitting on the edge. Me here having my nap, you in TV.
Actually, the real me will be downstairs in Dr. Clay's office talking to the TV people. Just the picture of me will be in the video camera. Then, later tonight, it'll be on TV.
Why you want to talk to the vultures?
Believe me, I don't. I just need to answer their questions once and for all so they'll stop asking. Back before you know it, okay? By the time you wake up, almost definitely.
Okay.
And then tomorrow, we're going on an adventure. Do you remember where Paul and Deanna and Bronwyn are going to take us?
Natural History Museum to see the dinosaurs.
That's right.
She stands up. One song. Ma sits down and does Swing Low Sweet Chariot. But it's too fast, and she's still hoarse from our cold. She pulls my wrist to look at my watch with the numbers. Another one.
They'll be waiting.
I want to come too. I sit up and wrap around Ma.
No, I don't want them to see you.
She puts me back down on the pillow.
Go to sleep now.
I'm not sleepy on my own.
You'll be exhausted if you don't have a nap. Let go of me, please.
Ma's taking my hands off her. I knot them around her tighter so she can't.
Jack.
Stay. I put my legs around her too.
Get off me. I'm late already.
Her hands are pressing my shoulders, but I hold on even more.
You're not a baby. I said get off.
Ma's shoving so hard, I suddenly come loose. Her shove hits my head on little table. Crack! She has her hand on her mouth. I'm screaming.
Oh, Jack, I'm so...
How's it going?
Dr. Clay's head in the door.
The crew are all set up and ready for you.
I cry louder than I ever. I hold my broken head.
I don't think this is going to work.
She's stroking my wetted face.
You can still pull out,
says Dr. Clay, coming near.
No, I can't. It's for Jack's college fund.
He twists his mouth.
We talked about whether that's a good enough reason.
I don't want to go to college. I want to go in TV with you. Ma puffs a long breath.
Change of plan. You can come down just to watch if you stay absolutely quiet, okay?
Okay.
Not a word.
Dr. Clay is saying to Ma,
Do you really think that's a good idea?
But I'm getting my stretchy shoes on. Quick, quick. My head's still wobbly. His office is all changed around, full of persons and lights and machines. Ma puts me on a chair in the corner. She kisses me the best bit of my head and whispers something I can't hear. She goes to a bigger chair, and a man person clips a little black bug on her jacket. A woman comes over with a box of colors and starts painting Ma's face. I recognize Morris, our lawyer. He's reading pages.
We need to see the cut down as well as the rough cut.
He's telling someone. He stares at me. Then he waves his fingers.
People?
He says it louder.
Excuse me. The boy is in the room, but is not to be shown on camera. No stills, snapshots for personal use, nothing. Are we clear?
Then everybody looks at me. I shut my eyes. When I open them, a different person is shaking Ma's hand. Wow, it's the woman with the puffy hair from the red couch. The couch is not here, though. I never saw an actual person from TV before. I wish it was Dora instead.
Delete your AVO over aerial footage of the shed, yeah.
A man is telling her.
Then we'll dissolve to a close-up on her, then the two-shot.
The woman with puffy hair smiles at me extra wide. There's everybody talking and moving about. I shut my eyes again and press on my ear holes like Dr. Clay said when it gets too much. Someone's counting.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Is there going to be a rocket? The woman with the puffy hair puts on a special voice. She has her hands together for praying.
Let me first express my gratitude and the gratitude of all our viewers for talking to us a mere 6 days after your release, for refusing to be silenced any longer.
Ma does a small smile.
Could you begin by telling us, what did you miss most in those 7 long years of captivity? Apart from your family, of course.
Dentistry, actually.
Ma's voice all high and fast.
Which is ironic because I used to hate having my teeth cleaned even.
You've emerged into a new world. A global economic and environmental crisis. A new president.
We saw the inauguration on TV.
Well, but so much must have changed.
Ma shrugs.
Nothing seems all that totally different, but I haven't really gone out yet except to the dentist.
The woman smiles like it's a joke.
No, I mean, everything feels different, but it's because I'm different.
Stronger at the broken places?
I rub my head that's still broken from the table. Ma makes a face.
Before, I was so ordinary. I wasn't even, you know, vegetarian. I never even had a goth phase.
And now, you're an extraordinary young woman with an extraordinary tale to tell, and we are honored that it's us...
The woman looks away to one of the persons with the machines.
Let's try that again.
She looks back at Ma and does the special voice.
And we're honored that you've chosen this show to tell it. Now, without necessarily putting it in terms of, say, Stockholm Syndrome, many of our viewers are curious, well, concerned to know if you found yourself in any way emotionally dependent on your captor.
Ma's shaking her head.
I hated him.
The woman is nodding.
I kicked. I screamed. One time I hit him over the head with the lid of the toilet. I didn't wash. For a long time I wouldn't speak.
Was that before or after the tragedy of your stillbirth?
Ma puts her hand over her mouth. Morris butts in. He's flicking through pages.
Claus, she doesn't want to talk about that.
Oh, we're not going into any detail.
says the woman with the puffy hair.
But it feels crucial to establish the sequence.
No, actually, it's crucial to stick to the contract.
Ma's hands are all shaking. She puts them under her legs. She's not looking my way. Did she forget I'm here? I'm talking to her in my head, but she's not hearing.
Believe me,
the woman is saying to Ma.
We're just trying to help you tell your story to the world.
She looks down at the paper in her lap.
So, you found yourself pregnant for the second time in the hellhole where you'd now eked out 2 years of your precious youth. Were there days when you felt you were being, forced to bear this man's...
Ma butts in.
Actually, I felt saved.
Saved? That's beautiful.
Ma twists her mouth.
I can't speak for anyone else. Like, I had an abortion when I was 18, and I've never regretted that.
The woman with the puffy hair has her mouth open a bit. Then she glances down at the paper and looks up at Ma again.
On that cold March day 5 years ago, you gave birth alone, under medieval conditions, to a healthy baby. Was that the hardest thing you've ever done?
Ma shakes her head.
The best thing.
Well, that too, of course. Every mother says...
Yeah, but for me, see? Jack was everything. I was alive again. I mattered. So, after that, I was polite.
Polite? Oh, you mean...
It was all about keeping Jack safe.
Was it agonizingly hard to be, as you put it, polite?
Ma shakes her head.
I did it on autopilot, you know? Stepford wife.
The puffy hair woman nods a lot.
Now, figuring out how to raise him all on your own, without books or professionals or even relatives, that must have been terribly difficult.
She shrugs.
I think what babies want is mostly to have their mothers right there. No, I was just afraid Jack would get ill, and me too. He needed me to be okay, so just stuff I remembered from health ed, like hand washing, cooking everything really well.
The woman nods.
You breastfed him. In fact, this may startle some of our viewers. I understand you still do?
Ma laughs. The woman stares at her.
In this whole story, that's the shocking detail?
The woman looks down at her paper again.
There you and your baby were, condemned to solitary confinement.
Ma shakes her head.
Neither of us was ever alone for a minute.
Well, yes, but it takes a village to raise a child, as they say in Africa.
If you've got a village. But if you don't, then maybe it just takes two people.
Two? You mean you and your...
Ma's face goes all frozen.
I mean me and Jack.
Ah.
We did it together.
That's lovely. May I ask, I know you taught him to pray to Jesus. Was your faith very important to you?
It was part of what I had to pass on to him.
Also, I understand that television helped the days of boredom go by a little faster.
I was never bored with Jack. Not vice versa either, I don't think.
Wonderful. Now, you'd come to what some experts are calling a strange decision to teach Jack that the world measured 11 foot by 11 and everything else, everything he saw on TV or heard about from his handful of books, was just fantasy. Did you feel bad about deceiving him?
Ma looks not friendly.
What was I meant to tell him? Hey, there's a world of fun out there, and you can't have any of it.
The woman sucks her lips.
Now, I'm sure our viewers are all familiar with the thrilling details of your rescue.
Escape.
She grins right at me. I'm surprised. I grin back, but she's not looking now.
Escape, right. And the arrest of the alleged captor. Now, did you get the sense over the years that this man cared at some basic human level, even in a warped way, for his son?
Ma's eyes have gone skinny.
Jack's nobody's son but mine.
That's so true, in a very real sense. I was just wondering whether, in your view, the genetic, the biological relationship...
There was no relationship.
She's talking through her teeth.
And you never found that looking at Jack painfully reminded you of his origins?
Ma's eyes go even tighter.
He reminds me of nothing but himself.
Hmm.
Says the TV woman.
When you think about your captor now, are you eaten up with hate?
She waits.
Once you've faced him in court, do you think you'll ever be able to bring yourself to forgive him?
Her mouth twists.
It's not like a priority. I think about him as little as possible.
Do you realize what a beacon you've become?
I beg your pardon?
A beacon of hope,
says the woman, smiling.
As soon as we announced we'd be doing this interview, our viewers started calling in, emails, text messages, telling us you're an angel, a talisman of goodness.
Ma makes a face.
All I did was I survived, and I did a pretty good job of raising Jack. A good enough job.
You're very modest.
No, what I am is irritated, actually.
The puffy hair woman blinks twice.
All this reverential... I'm not a saint.
Ma's voice is getting loud again.
I wish people would stop treating us like we're the only ones who ever lived through something terrible. I've been finding stuff on the internet you wouldn't believe.
Other cases like yours?
Yeah, but not just... I mean, of course when I woke up in that shed, I thought nobody'd ever had it as bad as me. But the thing is, slavery's not a new invention. And solitary confinement. Did you know, in America, we've got more than 25,000 prisoners in isolation cells? Some of them for more than 20 years.
Her hand is pointing at the puffy hair woman.
As for kids, there's places where babies lie in orphanages five to a cot with pacifiers taped into their mouths. Kids getting raped by daddy every night. Kids in prisons, whatever, making carpets till they go blind.
It's really quiet for a minute.
Your experiences have given you, enormous empathy with the suffering children of the world.
Not just children. People are locked up in all sorts of ways.
The woman clears her throat and looks at the paper in her lap.
You say did. You did a pretty good job of raising Jack. Although, of course, the job is far from over. But now you have lots of help from your family, as well as many dedicated professionals.
It's actually harder.
Ma's looking down.
When our world was 11 foot square, it was easier to control. Lots of things are freaking Jack out right now. But I hate the way the media call him a freak, or an idiot savant, or feral. That word...
Well... He's a very special boy.
Ma shrugs.
He's just spent his first 5 years in a strange place. That's all.
You don't think he's been shaped, damaged by his ordeal?
It wasn't an ordeal to Jack. It was just how things were. And yeah, maybe. But everybody's damaged by something.
He certainly seems to be taking giant steps toward recovery. Now, you said just now it was easier to control Jack when you were in captivity.
No, control things.
You must feel an almost pathological need, understandably, to stand guard between your son and the world.
Yeah, it's called being a mother.
Ma nearly snarls it.
Is there a sense in which you miss being behind a locked door?
Ma turns to Morris.
Is she allowed to ask me such stupid questions?
The puffy hair woman holds out her hand and another person puts a bottle of water into it. She takes a sip. Dr. Clay holds his hand up.
If I may, I think we're all getting the sense that my patient is at her limit. In fact, past it.
If you need to take a break, we could resume taping later.
The woman tells Ma. Ma shakes her head.
Let's just get it done.
Okay, then,
says the woman with another of her wide smiles that's fake like a robot's.
There's something I'd like to return to, if I may. When Jack was born, some of our viewers have been wondering whether it ever for a moment occurred to you to...
What? Put a pillow over his head?
Is that me, Ma means? But pillows go under heads. The woman waves her hand side to side.
Heaven forbid, but did you ever consider asking your captor to take Jack away?
Away?
To leave him outside a hospital, say, so he could be adopted, as you yourself were, very happily, I believe.
I can see Ma swallow.
Why would I have done that?
Well, so he could be free.
Free away from me?
It would have been a sacrifice, of course, the ultimate sacrifice. But if Jack could have had a normal, happy childhood with a loving family...
He had me.
Ma says it one word at a time.
He had a childhood with me, whether you'd call it normal or not.
But you knew what he was missing. Every day he needed a wider world, and the only one you could give him got narrower. You must have been tortured by the memory of everything Jack didn't even know to want. Friends, school, grass, swimming, rides at the fair.
Why does everyone go on about fairs?
Ma's voice is all hoarse.
When I was a kid, I hated fairs.
The woman does a little laugh. Ma's got tears coming down her face. She puts up her hands to catch them. I'm off my chair and running at her. Something falls over. Smash! I get to Ma and wrap her all up, and Morris is shouting,
"The boy is not to be shown."
When I wake up in the morning, Ma's gone. I didn't know she'd have days like this in the world. I shake her arm, but she only does a little groan and puts her head under the pillow. I'm so thirsty. I wriggle near to try and have some, but she won't turn and let me. I stay curled beside her for hundreds of hours. I don't know what to do. In Rome, if Ma was being gone, I could get up on my own and make breakfast and watch TV. I sniff. There's nothing in my nose. I think I've lost my cold. I go pull the cord to make the blind open a bit. It's bright. The light's bouncing off a car window. A crow goes by and scares me. I don't think Ma likes the light, so I do the cord back. My tummy goes, yarr. Then I remember the buzzer by the bed. I press it. Nothing happens. But after a minute, the door goes, tap, tap. I open it just a bit. It's Noreen.
Hi, Pet. How are you doing today?
Hungry. Ma's gone.
Well, let's find her, will we? I'm sure she's just slipped out for a minute.
No, she's here, but she's not really. Noreen's face goes all confused. Look. I point at the bed. It's a day she doesn't get up. Noreen calls Ma by her other name and asks if she's okay. Don't talk to her. She says to Ma even louder,
anything I can get you.
Let me sleep.
I never heard Ma say anything when she's gone before. Her voice is like some monster. Noreen goes over to the dresser and gets clothes for me. It's hard in the mostly dark. I get both legs in one pant leg for a second, and I have to lean on her. It's not so bad touching people on purpose. It's worse when it's them touching me, like electric shocks.
Shoes?
I find them and squeeze them on and do the Velcro. They're not the stretchies I like.
Good lad.
Noreen's at the door. She waves her hand to make me come with her. I tight my ponytail that was coming out. I find Tooth and my rock and my maple key to put in my pocket.
Your ma must be worn out after that interview,
says Noreen in the corridor.
Your uncle's been in reception for half an hour already, waiting for you guys to wake up.
The adventure. But no, we can't because Ma's gone. There's Dr. Clay on the stairs. He talks to Noreen. I'm holding on tight to the rail with two hands. I do one foot down, then another. I slide my hands down. I don't fall. There's just a second when it feels folly. Then I'm standing on the next foot. Noreen?
Just a tick.
No, but I'm doing the stairs. She grins at me.
Would you look at that?
Give me some skin.
I let go with one hand to high-five him.
So, do you still want to see those dinosaurs?
Without Ma? Dr. Clay nods.
But you'll be with your uncle and aunt all the time. You'll be perfectly safe. Or would you rather leave it till another day?
Yeah, but no, because another day the dinosaurs might be gone. Today, please.
Good lad. That way your ma can have a big snooze, and you can tell her all about the dinosaurs when you come back.
Hey, buddy.
Here's Paul, my uncle. I didn't know he was led in the dining room. I think buddy is man talk for sweetie. I have breakfast with Paul sitting beside. That's weird. He talks on his little phone. He says it's Deanna on the other end. The other end is the invisible one. There's juice with no bits today. It's yum. Noreen says they ordered it specially for me.
You ready for your first trip outside?
I've been in outside 6 days. I've been in the air 3 times. I've seen ants and helicopters and dentists.
Wow.
After my muffin, I get my jacket and hat and sunblock and cool shades on. Noreen gives me a brown paper bag in case I can't breathe.
Anyway, it's probably best your ma's not coming with us today because after that TV show last night, everybody knows her face.
Says Paul when we're going out the revolving door. Everyone in all the world?
Pretty much.
In the parking, he puts out his hand beside him like I'm meant to hold it. Then he puts it down again. Something falls on my face, and I shout.
Just a speck of rain.
I stare up at the sky. It's gray. Is it going to fall on us?
It's fine, Jack.
I want to be back in room number 7 with Ma, even if she's gone.
Here we are.
It's a green van. Deanna's in the seat with the steering wheel. She waves her fingers at me through the window. I see a smaller face in the middle. The van doesn't open out. It slides a piece of it, and I climb in.
At last. Bronwyn, hon, can you say hi to your cousin Jack?
It's a girl nearly the same big as me. She's got all braids like Deanna but sparkly beads on the ends and an elephant that's furry and cereals in a tub with a lid that's shaped like a frog. Hi, Jack, she says, very squeaky. There's a booster for me beside Bronwyn. Paul shows me to click the buckle. The third time I do it all myself. Deanna claps, and Bronwyn too. Then Paul slides the van shut with a loud clunk. I jump. I want Ma. I think I might be going to cry, but I don't. Bronwyn keeps going. Hi, Jack! Hi, Jack! She doesn't talk right yet. She says, Dada sing! And, pretty doggy! And, Mama more pretzel, please! Please is what she says for please. Dada means Paul, and Mama means Deanna, but they're the names only Bronwyn gets to say, like nobody calls Ma Ma but me. I'm being scathe, but a bit more brave than scared, because this isn't as bad as pretending I'm dead in rug. Anytime a car comes at us, I say in my head that it has to stay on its own side, or Officer O will put it in jail with the brown truck. Pictures in the window are like in TV, but blurrier. I see cars that are parked, a cement mixer, a motorbike, and a car trailer with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cars on it. That's my best number. In a front yard, a kid pushing a wheelbarrow with a little kid in it. That's funny. There's a dog crossing a road with a human on a rope. I think it's actually tied, not like the daycare that we're just holding on. Traffic lights changing to green, and a woman with crutches hopping, and a huge bird on a trash. Deanna says that's just a gull. They eat anything and everything. They're omnivores, I tell her.
My, you know some big words.
We turn where there's trees. Is this the clinic again?
No, no. We just have to make a pit stop at the mall to pick up a present for a birthday party Bronwyn's going to this afternoon.
The mall means stores like old Nick buys our groceries, but not anymore. It's just Paul going in the mall, but he says he doesn't know what to choose, so Deanna's going in instead. But then Bronwyn starts chanting, "Me with Mama! Me with Mama!" So it's going to be Deanna pulling Bronwyn in the red wagon, and Paul and me will wait in the van. I'm staring at the red wagon. Can I try?
Later, at the museum.
Listen, I'm desperate for the bathroom anyway. It might be faster if we all run in.
I don't know.
It shouldn't be too hectic on a weekday.
Deanna looks at me, not smiling.
Jack, would you like to come in the mall in the wagon, just for a couple of minutes?
Oh, yeah. I ride at the back, making sure Bronwyn doesn't fall out because I'm the big cousin. Like John the Baptist, I tell Bronwyn, but she's not listening. When we get up to the doors, they make a pop sound and crack open by their own. I nearly fall out of the wagon, but Paul says it's all just tiny computers sending each other messages. Don't worry about it. It's all extra bright and ginormous. I didn't know inside could be as big as outside. There's trees even. I hear music, but I can't see the players with the instruments. The most amazing thing, a bag of Dora. I get down to touch her face. She's smiling and dancing at me. Dora, I whisper to her.
Oh, yeah. Bronwyn used to be all about her, too, but now it's Hannah Montana.
Hannah Montana, Bronwyn sings. Hannah Montana. The Dora bag has straps. It's like backpack, but with Dora on it instead of backpack's face. It has a handle, too. When I try, it pulls up. I think I broke it, but then it rolls. It's a wheelie bag and a backpack at the same time. That's magic.
You like it?
It's Deanna talking to me.
Would you like to keep your things in it?
Maybe one that's not pink,
says Paul to her.
What about this one, Jack? Pretty cool or what?
He's holding up a bag of Spider-Man. I give Dora a big hug. I think she whispers, "Hola, Jack." Deanna tries to take the Dora bag, but I won't let her.
It's okay. I just have to pay the lady. You'll get it back in 2 seconds.
It's not 2 seconds. It's 37.
There's the bathroom,
says Paul, and he runs off. The lady's wrapping the bag in paper, so I can't see Dora anymore. She puts it into a big cardboard. Then Deanna gives it to me, swinging it on its strings. I take Dora out and put my arms in her straps, and I'm wearing it. I'm actually wearing Dora.
What do you say?
I don't know what I say. Bronwyn, pretty bag, She's waving a spangled one with hearts hanging on strings.
Yes, hon, but you've got lots of pretty bags at home.
She takes the shiny bag. Bronwyn screams, and one of the hearts fall on the ground.
Sometime could we get more than 20 feet in before the first meltdown?
Paul's back again.
If you were here, you could have distracted her.
Deanna tells him. Bronwyn, pretty bag! Deanna lifts her back into the wagon.
Let's go.
I pick up the heart and put it in my pocket with the other treasures. I walk along beside the wagon. Then I change my mind. I put all my treasures in my Dora bag in the front zip bed instead. My shoes are sore, so I take them off.
Jack!
That's Paul calling at me.
Don't keep bawling his name out, remember?
Oh, right.
I see a gigantic apple made of wood. I like that.
Crazy, isn't it? What about this drum for Shirelle?
He says to Deanna. She rolls her eyes.
Concussion hazard. Don't even try.
Can I have the apple, thank you?
I don't think it would fit into your bag.
Paul grins. Next, I find a silver and blue thing like a rocket. I want this, thank you.
That's a coffee pot.
Deanna puts it back on the shelf.
We bought you a bag already. That's it for today, okay? We're just looking for a present for Bronwyn's friend. Then we can get out of here. Excuse me. I wonder, are these your older daughters?
It's an old woman holding up my shoes. Deanna stares at her.
Jack, buddy, what's going on?
Paul points at my socks.
Thank you so much,
says Deanna, taking the shoes from the woman and kneeling down. She pushes my feet to step into the right, then the left.
You keep saying his name,
she says to Paul through her teeth. I wonder what's wrong with my name.
Sorry.
Why she said older daughter?
It's your long hair and your Dora bag.
The old woman's disappeared. Was she a bad guy?
No.
But if she figured out that you were that Jack, she might take your picture with her cell phone or something and your mom would kill us.
My chest starts banging. Why, Ma would...
Sorry.
She'd be really mad. That's all he means.
I'm thinking of Ma lying in the dark, gone. I don't like her being mad.
No, of course not.
Can you back me to the clinic now, please?
Very soon.
Now!
Don't you want to see the museum? We'll get going in just a minute. Webkins, that should be safe enough. I think there's a toy shop past the food court.
I wheel my bag all the time. My shoes are Velcroed too tight. Bronwyn's hungry, so we have popcorn. That's the crunchiest thing I ever ate. It sticks in my throat and makes me cough. Paul gets him and Deanna lattes from the coffee shop. When bits of popcorn fall down from my bag, Deanna says to leave them there because we've got plenty, and we don't know what's been on that floor. I made a mess. Ma will be mad. Deanna gives me a wet wipe to unsticky my fingers. I put it in my Dora bag. It's too bright here, and I think we're lost. I wish I was in room number 7. I need to pee. Paul brings me in a bathroom that has funny floppy sinks on the wall. He waves at them.
Go ahead.
Where's the toilet?
These are special ones, just for us guys.
I shake my head and go out again. Deanna says I can come with her and Bronwyn. She lets me choose the cubicle.
Great job, Jack. No splashing at all.
Why would I splashing? When she takes Bronwyn's underwear down, it's not like penis or Ma's vagina. It's a fat little piece of body folded in the middle with no fur. I put my finger on it and press. It's squishy. Deanna bangs my hand away. I can't stop screaming.
Calm down, Jack. Is your hand hurt?
There's all blood coming out of my wrist.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It must have been my ring.
She stares at her ring with the gold bits.
But listen, we don't touch each other's private parts. That is not okay. Okay?
I don't know private parts.
All done, Bronwyn? Let Mama wipe.
She's rubbing the same bit of Bronwyn I did, but she doesn't hit herself after. When I wash my hands, it hurts the blood more. Deanna keeps digging in her bag for a Band-Aid. She folds up some brown paper towel and tells me to press in on the cut.
Oakley Doakley?
Asks Paul outside.
Don't ask. Can we get out of here?
What about the present for Shirelle?
We can wrap up something of Bronwyn's that looks new.
Not something mine, Bronwyn shouts. They're arguing. I want to be in bed with Ma in the dark and her all soft and no invisible music and red-faced wide persons going by and girls laughing with their arms knotted together and bits of them showing through their clothes. I press the cut to stop my blood falling out. I close my eyes walking along. I bang into a plant pot. Actually, it's not really a plant like Plant was till she died. It's plastic of one. Then I see anybody smiling at me. That's Dylan. I run and give him a huge hug.
A book. Perfect. Give me 2 seconds.
It's Dylan the Digger. He's my friend from Room, I tell Paul. Here's Dylan the Sturdy Digger. The loads he shovels get bigger and bigger. Watch his long arm delve into the earth.
That's great, buddy. Now, can you find where it goes back?
I'm stroking Dylan's front. It's gone all smooth and shiny. How did he get here to the mall?
Careful you don't get blood on it.
Paul's putting a tissue on my hand. My brown paper must have dropped off.
Why don't you choose a different book that you've never read before?
Mama, Mama! Bronwyn's trying to get a jewelry out of the front of a book.
Go pay.
Deanna puts a book in Paul's hand. She runs over to Bronwyn. I open my Dora bag. I put Dylan in and zip him up safe. When Deanna and Bronwyn come back, we walk near the fountain to hear the splashing but not get splashed. Bronwyn's saying, "Money, money!" So Deanna gives her a coin, and Bronwyn throws it in the water.
Want one?
That's Deanna saying to me. It must be a special trash for money that's too dirty. I take the coin and throw it in and get out the wet wipe to clean my fingers.
Did you make a wish?
I never made a wish with trash before. For what?
Whatever you'd like best in the world.
What I'd like best is to be in Rome, but I don't think that's in the world. There's a man talking to Paul. He's pointing at my Dora. Paul comes and unzips it and takes out Dylan.
Jack, buddy.
I am so sorry.
He's got a copy at home, you see. He thought this was his one.
He holds out Dylan to the man. I run and grab him back. I say, "Here's Dylan the Sturdy Digger. The loads he shovels get bigger and bigger."
He doesn't understand.
Watch his long arm delve into the earth.
Jack, sweetheart, this one belongs to the store.
Deanna's pulling the book out of my hand. I hold even harder again and push him up my shirt. I'm from somewhere else, I tell the man. Old Nick kept me and Ma locked up and he's in jail now with his truck, but the angel won't burst him out because he's a bad guy. We're famous, and if you take our picture, we'll kill you. The man blinks.
How much is the book?
The man says,
I'll need to scan it.
Paul puts out his hand. I curl up on the floor around Dylan.
Why don't I get another copy for you to scan?
Says Paul, and he runs back into the store. Deanna's looking all around, shouting,
Bronwyn? Honey?
She rushes over to the fountain and looks in all along it.
Bronwyn?
Actually, Bronwyn's behind a window with dresses putting her tongue at the glass.
Bronwyn!
Deanna screaming. I put my tongue out, too. Bronwyn laughs behind the glass. I nearly fall asleep in the green van, but not really. Noreen says my Dora bag is magnificent, and the shiny heart, too, and Dylan the Digger looks like a great read.
How were the dinosaurs?
We didn't have time to see them.
Oh, that's a pity.
Noreen gets me a Band-Aid for my wrist, but there's no pictures on it.
Your ma's been snoozing the day away. She'll be thrilled to see you.
She taps and opens the door number 7. I take off my shoes, but not my clothes. I get in with Ma at last. She's warmy soft. I snuggle up, but carefully. The pillow smells bad.
See you guys at dinner time,
whispers Noreen and shuts the door. The bad is vomit. I remember from our great escape. Wake up! You did sick on the pillow. She doesn't switch on. She doesn't groan even or roll over. She's not moving when I pull her. This is the most gone she's ever. Ma! 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 She's a zombie, I think. Noreen! I run at the door. I'm not meant to disturb the persons, but... Noreen! She's at the end of the corridor. She turns around. Ma did a vomit!
Not a bother. We'll have that cleaned up in 2 ticks. Let me just get the cart.
No, but come now.
Okay, okay.
When she switches on the light and looks at Ma, she doesn't say okay. She picks up the phone and says,
Code blue, room 7, code blue.
I don't know what's... Then I see Ma's pill bottles open on the table. They look mostly empty. Never more than 2, that's the rule. How could they be mostly empty? Where did the pills go? Noreen's pressing on the side of Ma's throat and saying her other name and...
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
But I don't think Ma can hear. I don't think she can see. Bad idea, bad idea, bad idea! Lots of persons run in. One of them pulls me outside in the corridor. I'm screaming, Ma! As loud as I can, but it's not loud enough to wake her.
Living.
I'm in the house with Hammock. I'm looking out the window for it, but Grandma says it would be in the backyard, not the front. Anyway, it's not hung up yet because it's only the 10th of April. There's bushes and flowers and the sidewalk and the street and the other front yards and the other houses. I count 11 of bits of them. That's where neighbors live, like Beggar My Neighbor. I suck to feel Tooth. He's right in the middle of my tongue. The white car is outside, not moving. I rode in it from the clinic, even though there was no booster. Dr. Clay wanted me to stay for continuity and therapeutic isolation, but Grandma shouted that he wasn't allowed to keep me like a prisoner when I do have a family. My family is Grandma Steppa, Bronwyn, Uncle Paul, Deanna, and Grandpa, only he shudders at me. Also, Ma. I move Tooth into my cheek. Is she dead?
No, I keep telling you. Definitely not.
Grandma rests her head on the wood around the glass. Sometimes when persons say, definitely, it sounds actually less true. Are you just playing she's alive? Because if she's not, I don't want to be either. There's all tears running all down her face again.
I don't... I can't tell you any more than I know, sweetie. They said they'd call as soon as they had an update.
What's an update?
How she is right this minute.
How is she?
Well, she's not well because she took too much of the bad medicine, like I told you. But they've probably pumped it all out of her stomach by now, or most of it.
But why is she...
Because she's not well. In her head. She's being taken care of. You don't need to worry.
Why?
Well, it doesn't do any good to...
God's face is all red and stuck on a chimney. It's getting darker. Tooth is digging into my gum. He's a bad, hurting tooth.
You didn't touch your lasagna. Would you like a glass of juice or something?
I shake my head.
Are you tired? You must be tired, Jack. Lord knows I am. Come downstairs and see the spare room.
Why is it spare?
That means we don't use it.
Why you have a room you don't use? Grandma shrugs.
You never know when we might need it.
She waits while I do the stairs down on my butt because there's no banister to hold. I pull my Dora bag behind me, bumpity bump. We go through the room that's called the living room. I don't know why, because Grandma and Steppa are living in all the rooms, except not the spare. An awful wah, wah starts. I cover my ears.
I'd better get that.
She comes back in a minute and brings me into a room.
Are you ready?
For what?
To go to bed, honey.
Not here. She presses around her mouth where the little cracks are.
I know you're missing your ma. But just for now, you need to sleep on your own. You'll be fine. Steppa and I will be just upstairs. You're not afraid of monsters, are you?
It depends on the monster. If it's a real one or not, and if it's where I am.